like it's 6 o'clock, although our council is not here yet.
He said, "Go on and thought I'm going to be here soon." Okay. Yeah, stuck in traffic.
Call to order this meeting of the Lindsay City Council and direct the clerk to take roll.
Councilmember Sanchez.
Here.
Councilmember Flores.
Yeah.
Councilmember Watson.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez.
Here.
Mayor Kimball.
Here. Thank you. Could everyone please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to invite Mary Sabisma, Spirit and the Bride Kingdom Coalition, to come forward and offer our invocation tonight. Thank you for being here.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your presence here tonight. We thank you for your Son Jesus that you sent to save us from our sins. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you for each one of these city council members here. Thank you for our mayor. Lord, I just ask for your blessing upon each one of them. I ask for your wisdom, Lord, in the decisions they need to make. I ask for your guidance, your leading, God, and your protection over each one of their lives, Lord, and everywhere they go and whatever they do. God, I thank you for each and every city worker. I pray your blessings over them, those that work as firemen, policemen, social workers, for our schools, Lord, the principals, administrators, teachers, God, and just anyone else that assists these city council members here and the mayor, Lord, everyone that works for this great city, I just pray blessings over them and your wisdom and guidance and protection over each one. God, I thank you for our churches and pastors. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each one of them too, that you would bless our churches, God. And I thank you for each and every business in this city, God. I thank you for each gas station and restaurant and grocery store and flower shop and auto shop, Lord, and every other business that's in this city, Lord. I pray blessings that you would prosper and encourage and give wisdom and guidance to every business owner. And Lord, I thank you too for every student that attends the schools here in Lindsay. As we've just started a new school year, I pray blessings over each one of them as well, that you would give them wisdom in their studies, Lord, and guide and direct and bless them. Oh God, just every person in this city, from the richest to the poorest, from the little babes to the older citizens, Lord, we just thank you for this city of Lindsay, God, and I pray blessings over each and every resident, Lord, and each and every family and home, God. We just love our city, and we just ask you to bless it. We ask your blessing again on this evening and this meeting. Lord, I again just say a special blessing and prayer for Bill Ziegler, Lord. Thank you for his years of service to this city. God, I pray your blessings upon his retirement and his future plans. Lord, to you be the glory for all that is said and done tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Before we go into public comment, just to let everybody know, anyone in here is welcome to help themselves to our sidebar, whether it's the cake and berries or some cold water, anytime during the meeting tonight, in honor of Bill and his retirement.
I'm going to get some.
Go right ahead. You deserve
it. You can do
it.
Whatever you want now.
And with that, I will open public comment period. The public is invited to comment on any subject under the jurisdiction of the Lindsay City Council. Speakers should give the clerk a filled-out speaker card and clearly state their name at the podium to begin. Speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes each, with no more than 30 minutes for the total comment period, unless otherwise indicated by the mayor. You may now come forward if you wish to address the council.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen in Lindsay, California. My name is Eric Sinclair. Just recently reports of the Amazon burning. My thoughts and prayers for the soldiers that are handling the Amazon fires. kind of reminded me a little bit when I was younger, and I wanted to develop a company that was alongside of UPS but faster, and you can make orders. So I inherited the name of Amazon. The smile was for my smile. A little on the local part, I was on the city bus in Batsaya, and I noticed the GF iBox along on the right side of the steering wheel. It needs to be pushed over slightly, and in the city of Batsaya, the trees along the routes of these buses should be trimmed back to prevent damage on the buses. The reason why I bring attention to these buses is when I was younger, when the transit station in Visalia, California was being built, I myself bought all of the buses provided to the city of Visalia, California, along with one of the families in Visalia, California. And I paid for the transit station in Porterville, California. And always looking out for my county, being watchful, doing what I can, giving where it needs to be given. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to address the council?
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. I'm Brian Thoburn with Southern California Edison. Just wanted to briefly provide an update to the city on Southern California Edison's wildfire mitigation efforts. As you all know, the wildfire threats throughout the state now are really greater than ever. I think in the last 10, 15 years, 10 of the 20 most destructive fires in the state have occurred. To that end, at Edison, we have a wildfire mitigation plan where we're upgrading and reinforcing our electrical grid with new technologies to help reduce wildfire risks in our area. And that includes installing insulated wire that will help minimize the chance that when animals or vegetation or other debris get in contact with our lines, that will minimize the wildfire risk because of the insulation. We're also installing composite poles to replace wood poles as they're stronger and more resistant in terms of fire threats. We're also installing remote-controlled automated equipment on our circuits, particularly in high fire risk areas, that will also help us quickly minimize fire risks when outages occur. We're also engaged in overhead inspections of our lines and equipment as part of our mitigation efforts. And then also from a technological standpoint, we're using to a greater extent than ever weather stations. We're installing more weather stations throughout our high-risk areas, and high-definition cameras now in our area that can strengthen our ability to anticipate weather conditions and proactively repair equipment when we see it. All of that coupled with our ongoing vegetation management issues to do line clearing and clear trees out of our equipment and lines. All of this with the purpose to make things more safer for our customers and the public and our employees, and to do what we can at Edison to help mitigate the wildfire risk. So just wanted to let you know that that's the latest that's going on at Edison. We've been busy all year, and we'll continue to be busy for the rest of the year and in the coming years. So I want to again thank the city and the city council for your ongoing cooperation and support and the support of your staff, and would like to also express our appreciation to Mr. Ziegler for his years of support and partnership, and wish him all the best as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thoburn. Anyone else wish to address the council at this time? Seeing none, we will close public comment and move to council reports. City council members report on recent or upcoming events, activities, anything to report tonight? Councilwoman Flores?
Yes. We had the pleasure of interviewing two outstanding organizations that indicated interest and opening up a cannabis business in our community. Both respectively were well qualified and presented a very informative presentation. While council has passed the option of two businesses, we wanted to start out with one. The business that we would like to present to council understands the needs of our community and demonstrated how, as partners and working together, we could explore new exciting ideas that could significantly benefit our community in the long run.
Thank you. We will address that in item 9. Councilman Watson?
Yes, just an update on the East Cahuilla GSA. Our next scheduled meeting is September 16th, and we'll have a report of the latest news from the Groundwater Sustainability Agency that manages about 125,000 acres, in which the city is a part of. Secondly, I would just like to congratulate and appreciate the ad hoc committee that took extra time to sit in to the latest RFPs between the two competing companies. You know, when people volunteer for ad hoc committees, it's extra time out of their busy schedules. We are not compensated for that, and oftentimes these meetings are hours and hours. And so I just want to publicly thank our council members for doing their due diligence and look forward to their recommendation. And finally, just to say what a pleasure it's been working with Mr. Ziegler. I've known Bill for many years, and it's been a pleasure to work with him since late 2015. And he has been a true friend of the city of Lindsay, and I think that will continue years into the future. We look forward to maybe working with him on some special projects in the future. And that concludes my report.
Do you have a report?
Yes, I do. First of all, the Rotary here in Lindsay will have margarita tasting and silent auction dinner on September 14th at the Lindsay Wellness Center. It's their first annual. Cost per person is $40. Music by Lindsay High School Guitar Ensemble will be there. Special performance by Ballet Flocorico Sierra Linda. And all proceeds will go towards Lindsay High School scholarships. So I just wanted to bring that up because I had not brought that up.
Yeah.
And I also want to thank Bill for his service overall, not only for the country, but also for this community. And thank the City Council for allowing City Council Flores and I to go forward with the ad hoc and do sit in on the interviews, which were long, but interesting, and I would do it all over again. So. And thank you.
Surprisingly, I don't have anything
today. I should have given you my I'm quiet for today. Okay.
I also don't have anything to report on. Been on vacation with my husband, which was great. It's nice to be back. And I will have some things to say about Bill in a minute. But with that, we'll move on to staff reports.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. You're very kind. We'll do a final coffee in the park this Friday between 8 and approximately 10. We'll see how many come out. But we'll have some donuts and some coffee and probably some juice out there for those who don't do coffee. We'll be in the Big Arbor by the play structure. And anybody who wants to come by and say goodbye to the old guy and hello to the new, we welcome them to come out and kind of catch a little bit of what Brett's vision is going to be for the community. So we welcome everyone to come out Friday in the park, 8 o'clock. I've been emailing and texting council, I guess texting council about 1214. It's been problematic, but we do have exciting news in that we have identified problems that can cause the symptoms that we've been experiencing. So Mike has been working with various consultants on this. They have a strategy in place, and they're going through this thing. It will require some replacement of casing that's out there. Additionally, it's going to require some high-pressure cleaning of the inside. They ran the camera down couldn't get good pictures because, well, that casing's as old as the stuff that we pulled out that had the holes in it. So you can imagine bubbles and things on there. They need to scour that pretty well so they can get a good look at the underlying metal. When that happens, the debris is going to fall into the well. Hmm. And there's a system, is it called airlift, Mike, or airvac? They're going to airlift that out. I don't know how that's going to work, but they're going to bring as much debris out of there as they possibly can to get sent down to the bottom. And there are several things that are going on with this, but we're pretty excited about this, what this means for a reliable water supply for the community coming from Well 14, and that at some point in the future, when the finances are there, probably going to want to go through this on Well 15 as well. They both have some age to them. It was interesting, the first two 20-foot sections that we pulled out looked okay. We thought, well, okay, and those are the initial pictures that I had sent. But we had dropped the well 40 feet, and so that was the newest stuff we had. From there on, it was pretty rough looking. So you change it all out. You don't piecemeal it. So Mike's got a strategy. He's got the best people working on it, and I'm very pleased for the innovation and the outside-of-the-box thinking. Typically, when you measure a water level at the static level and you start pulling the water up, you'd expect that water level to drop. But instead, it increased, and everybody was scratching their head on this. And someone had a theory, and the theory was correct. So, pretty good stuff. You'll have a detailed staff report sent to you with lots of information there. I had also mentioned to you in the weekend update, the Tulare County Irwin Disadvantaged Community, I don't know what the PAC part of that is, Mike.
Public Advisory Committee.
Not Political Action Committee. Yes. No. Public Advisory Committee have voted to approve some grants for planning work to be done on our DBP problem that we send those notices out on. And also an idea that Mike had working with some others is the potential for a regional water plant that could serve the disadvantaged communities around us. And several of you have been plugged into this. It's an idea that's pretty exciting if we could get more water from the canal and create a region-wide water plant, because ours is aged. It's kind of physically confined in the space that it's in. So we've got a grant to pursue those ideas, those concepts, to see if they have merit or not. And I'm sure the state would be very interested in what we come up with on this. So, again, hats
That's
off to Mike and
really
his team for taking this and being successful in competing for these grants. So good on you. The Frontier folks with the roundabout have set their new manhole at the south side of the roundabout. Paving, final paving, is expected to begin next week. And I know Mike is working on a plan to get landscaping started out there. It may be kind of minimal, but he's working on that. And you'll be talking about the rehab overlay Cape Seal projects tonight. Hopefully get those awarded and so we can get those projects underway and our people, our residents, can start seeing some improved streets soon. Mike's working with the local government commission on trying to get complete streets designs and concepts. I should say designs and construction for Hermosa from State Highway 65 to the new Westwood Avenue roundabout. We've had a great relationship with the local government commission. They come out here, and in fact, they were the genesis of the roundabout that we built out there by Jefferson. They came out, they evaluated the traffic flows, the pedestrian impacts, and they first talked to us about, you need a roundabout in this place, and then took the time to persuade us on this and to educate people at the school district on how this could be the best solution. And that was many years ago, and we still have a great relationship with them, really, again, through Mike. We're going to have our Labor Day holiday, September 2nd. All city offices will be closed. And jumping on to Wellness Aquatic, Lisa's collaborating with the Lindsay Unified School District to start providing swim lessons to the STARS program. First and second graders will be a 12-week program between September 11th and December 11th. And I know Brett's working out the contractual requirements on that right now. And then finally, the Youth Ball Soccer League schedule has changed their start date on September the 9th. So that concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions?
I have one thing. And so tomorrow our offices are closing at 11:30 instead of noon. So especially at the city tomorrow. And so it's just a one-time 30-minute early thing tomorrow. We'll be open in the afternoon. We typically close at lunchtime in the finance office. There's an extra half hour tomorrow.
Thank you. All right. Our next item is our consent calendar. We have 7 items on consent: successor agency and city council meeting minutes from August 13th, special city council meeting minutes from August 20th, Warrant list for August 6th through 20th, resolution 1951, authorize signer and approval of sale of 802 Orange Avenue, which we talked about at our last meeting. Number 5, approve East Ponds Monitoring Task Order. 6, accept completed Well 15 Variable Frequency Drive Project. Direct clerk to file notification. And 7, temporary use permit 1934 Kiwanis Carnival. What action would the council like to take?
Move to approve.
And moved by Watson.
I'll second.
Second by Sanchez. Would the clerk please take roll?
Councilmember Sanchez?
Aye.
Councilmember Flores?
Aye.
Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez?
Aye.
Mayor Kimball?
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Okay, next item. Proclamation for City Manager Bill Ziegler. So, whereas the City of Lindsay's Council Manager form of government places great trust in the City Manager to execute the vision and priorities of the City Council, surely the City Manager implements the local voice of democracy in the community. And whereas William Bill Ziegler, as he likes to tell it, joined the City in 2000 as a gray-haired intern at $9 an hour after 21 years in the U.S. Navy, he promoted from intern through the planning department to serve as the director of planning and economic development before becoming the city manager in July 2015. He has served our country and our community with honor, integrity, and courage for 40 years. And whereas his second career choice has positively impacted the lives of thousands in more ways than even he thought possible, between his first day as a part-time intern to his last day as city manager, Bill has been integrally involved in or directly responsible for creating a range of housing opportunities and choices, enhancing and beautifying our walkable neighborhoods, encouraging partnerships with the school district and other organizations, slowing and reversing the city's financial woes, outsourcing the management and operations of the McDermott Fieldhouse, improving management of our environmental resources, and building positive relationships with the many faith organizations in Lindsay. Bill hopes to be remembered above all for his work with the city's parks. He relishes seeing children enjoying the new Lindsay Sports Complex and families gathering in the city park. He hopes Lindsay residents build fond memories of the community as they experience happy times in these special places. And whereas, while one figuratively rides off into the sunset at retirement, Bill might literally do it. He is an avid cyclist who will certainly log tens of thousands of miles as he enjoys his retirement. As he does, the rest of us will remember him for what he has done to make Lindsay a better place. Now, therefore, the City of Lindsay offers its most sincere expression of appreciation to Mr. Ziegler for serving our community so tirelessly and consistently through all seasons and times. In witness whereof, I hereby set my hand and cause the seal of the City of Lindsay to be affixed on this 27th day of August, 2019. City Council of the City of Lindsay, Pamela Kimball, Mayor. Bill, you got a picture. Come on, you got to come get your proclamation, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Our item 5 study session to discuss wellness programming
Mayor,
committee.
May I
yes.
have a moment?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Didn't give you your moment to speak. I retract. Please
it's
take
okay.
all the moments you'd like.
I'll be brief. So I want to thank council for the trust that you've placed in my abilities when I was selected. I was kind of the quiet guy over there, but had been around the block more than a few times. And I want to thank you for trusting in my abilities. And then for all of you to provide me with the opportunity to lead this organization through a period of recovery. And I believe it is just that. It's a period of recovery. Early on, our team identified our financial condition as the greatest threat to the city and its residents. With that, staff pursued fiscal austerity. We right-sized the organization. We restructured departments. We outsourced both general services, some of those, and McDermott Fieldhouse we're all aware of. We renegotiated contracts and MOUs that did not serve the best interest of the city and its residents. We pursued continuing education opportunities for our staff, and we have endeavored to recruit the best and the brightest to help accelerate the city's trajectory toward a full financial recovery and provide the best possible services to our residents. Staff has carefully and intentionally dedicated city resources toward those projects that would bring the greatest benefit to the community and has made every effort to enhance the safety in all concepts within the community. I'm proud of what our team has achieved. Now it's time to pass the torch to new leadership, and I do so with total confidence in Brett and what will now become his team. And I'd like to finish with a quote from a businessman and author on leadership, Max Dupree. The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality, and you've all done that too. The last is to say thank you, and I do so with sincerity and with gratitude. In between, the leader is a servant. I hope I've been there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Seems kind of strange to just go on,
but we'll just go on with the curious moment.
Now I'm going to turn this over to the ad hoc committee. Do you have anything to bring up? I mean, if you want to, if you need to. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, we met, the programming committee met at the Wellness Center. And after finding out that there were a few different documents and MOUs and amendments and all these things, we decided as a programming committee to just bring all those documents together and have one working document. So in the event that there's change in leadership or change in council members, there's one working document that everybody can refer back to instead of having to go back and hunt for whatever everybody else has. In that meeting that Councilmember Sanchez and I attended, I took some notes and so did Councilmember Sanchez. And so we suggested that at the time, Star, who was the attorney for the Lindsay Hospital Board group, was going to compile the document. So he did, and it was sent out, but it still wasn't quite what we were looking for or what we had agreed on. It wasn't what we had agreed on. So Lisa, who was also at the meeting, Lisa Davis, the wellness director, wellness center director, also put together a document, which I have here, that looks more like what we had agreed on at the programming committee meeting. So I'm going to pass it out. The purpose of this study session is for us to look at this agreement and see if it makes sense and see if this is the document that we want to take back to the programming committee to see if we want to adopt it. So I have a copy here for everybody so that we can go through it and see if this is what it should look like.
Okay.
Yeah. As you can see here, I have two of the documents, but there's another one that we didn't have at the moment. So one of the big things was we wanted to, there's a section on here about the Brown Act Committee. So one of the addendum number two that you don't have right now, it states on here, item 8, Brown Act Committee. The committee is an advisory committee and is not empowered to make decisions on behalf of the district board or city council within the council proceedings.
However, the committee is an appointed body created by formal action of the governing boards of the city and the hospital district and is therefore subject to the Brown Act. We didn't think that it was. So at the moment of the meeting that day, we wanted that item removed, and everybody had agreed on it. So on the document that Lisa prepared, it doesn't talk about the Brown Act because we don't want it there. But the one that was sent by Star, it still has that on there. So I just want to make sure that we're doing this right and that we do what we say we were going to do. So I don't know what you guys...
Sounds like a good question for our...
I know, it's like a question for our attorney.
City attorney.
Whether this board is subject to the Brown Act or not.
I would tell you, most likely, so I haven't looked at the agreement, but one of the things that is peculiar about how they wrote the rules is, even if you don't have a quorum, if the public agency is donating money to a committee that a member of the board sits on, then you would be subject to that. Now, that may not, even if the city's not giving money to this particular committee, if the hospital district is, because they're a public agency, you would be required to do it anyway. So even if the city's not required to do it, the hospital board may be required to do it.
By giving money, like they maybe pay, they get a stipend for attending that meeting or something? I mean, how would you even give money? Or would you have Lisa go and she's a paid employee?
No. What's intended is that the city would contribute a let me use a different example. So if the city gave money to the chamber, which it had, you know, in years past, in exchange for a seat on the board of the chamber, even if it was one person, you would have to comply with the Brown Act because the city is providing funds to that group in exchange for a seat on that organization. So you don't necessarily need a quorum of you to trigger the requirements of the folks.
So there's no money going to this.
but not from... I don't know the mechanics of it, so that's one of the things. But even if there's nothing from the city going to this group, if there's something, because the hospital board did something, if they're contributing anything, they'd be required to post anyway.
What? So it's best to leave it there?
I don't know.
I can't imagine that anybody contributed anything to this little meeting. there's no monetary contribution to the committee.
Because we're just an advisory, yeah.
We're just an advisory board.
We don't make any decisions there. We bring them back.
Yeah, so go a little bit backwards. So on their side, how many people are going to be on the committee?
Two.
And from us, it's just two of you. So I would not think, as long as there's no other money exchanging hands, then you'd probably be okay.
So we wouldn't count Lisa because she's not able to vote.
No, she's not a she's not
and we wouldn't
she's not
count,
a member of
and we
the
wouldn't
body.
Count Star either, right?
No,
right. He doesn't count.
Yeah.
So that was one of the big things. So then the question is still: do we need that on our end? We're thinking we don't. Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like.
I would think that you wouldn't, from what you described, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially if you receive nothing. No monetary remuneration.
And not only that, but we're not making any decisions of any sort either. We're just advising. We bring that's what we're doing right now.
Right.
We bring it back to you guys. Their members take it back to their board, and then we come together and collaborate.
Right. So there's if you leave it out, I mean it almost doesn't make a difference, I'll tell you. Like, if you leave it out,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it and we get into it and Star looks at it and I look at it and we agree that it's subject to the Brown Act, it's a law. So you don't need
right.
it.
Right. So you don't have to have it in your MOU.
You can leave it out and we may come back and say, hey, here are the facts and you need to pose. It wouldn't matter if it's in the agreement or not. You still have to pose it.
So I have a question. So you're saying that the hospital board has agreed to contribute $233,000 to the wellness center?
They didn't.
That was the mandatory one they were already doing. That's the base one for very
So
That can actually be changed.
Not correct.
Let's let Laura and Rosanna finish their presentation, and then we'll ask questions like that.
Maybe we will cover.
No, you.
That was just one of the things.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
But to address that point, so I'm here does take the hospital district has fulfilled its efforts and responsibilities to the previous agreements and understandings to contribute $233,721 annually for debt service. So it's still on the document, on the one that we want to take back to them. That there was
but
no change
that
in that
to
amount.
Me actually sounds like past tense.
Right?
It is fulfilled.
That's kind of strange for an MOU.
I don't think fulfilled should be in there because I just feel like fulfilled means okay, we're done with that.
That is past tense. Mm-hmm. Past
that's
fulfilled.
That's
like a completion.
Yeah, like, oh, we completed it, now we don't have to do that.
Yeah, that's kind of
your old funding agreement had an end date on there that was in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd want to retain that, that end date.
Mm-hmm.
Because the original one does say will contribute.
Mm-hmm. I think it needs to continue to say will contribute.
Okay.
I don't understand the change in language on that. Why did it make that?
Well, I'm finished, Pam.
I'm still talking about the one point.
which other one? The one that is under item one, in order to fund the center, on that second page, as you notice, item A there is highlighted. The city will contribute $200,000 annually for operational expenses of the wellness center. We didn't talk about definitive amounts during that meeting that day, but what we did bring about was we didn't specify where these $200,000 were coming from, which was where their concerns were, right?
Mm-hmm. But they did, I think they confused themselves because at first they said they didn't care where that money came from because they said they were fine with that. So Laura then said, okay, so you're fine, it doesn't matter where it comes from. And they stated, no, it doesn't matter where it comes from. But then they turned around and said, oh, wait a minute. It does matter. So I still feel that the way that the money is being, I guess, I don't know, transferred or the way they're looking at it is still that we're not putting our fair share into the wellness center.
So I guess what
being like the rent, you know, the renting and of all the revenue that is coming in.
It appeared that last meeting they were interested in coming directly from the general fund as a transfer and not counting any of the additional revenue the city brought to the facility through renting it out or like manners. I'd voice the opinion that that should count towards that contribution because without the city making that action to bring on the end, that money would be there to begin with. And so the action that made should count towards or after that $200,000 annual amount.
That's been kind of the crux of it, folks.
Yeah.
You have a $200,000 obligation, and in their minds, it should be $200,000 plus whatever the Wellness Center generates. But that's not what you have in your MOU. It's not what you have in your funding agreement.
So is there a way to word that, to take that on here so that, again, moving forward, if there's any new board members or any new council members, I mean, it's clear, and we don't have to rely on people's recollection as far as...
That's what Marius were. I think, I've always felt it was clear. And I get where they're coming from, and that's why we have attorneys to help resolve these kinds of issues.
And they agree. It's just the way it was worded. So if it can be changed, well, reworded, but meaning the same thing, I think they would be okay with it.
So in the end, the city's going to have to finance whatever the shortcoming is. So whether there's a 200,000 number in there or no number in there at all, the city's still going to have to contribute the same amount every year. I think the concern is that they don't want to be taken advantage of with requests to help replace pool pumps and that sort of thing. That the unexpected large expense the city's budget's not going to swallow.
So how can we word that to sound more?
So we want to change it to say it's you're basically going to contribute $200,000. Right. It's not cash, but it could be cash. It could be a combination of cash and rent, or lease payments, or even other equivalents. I mean, if we have to say we had to pay somebody to be there, like we would want, like extraordinarily, we would want that to contribute. So things may come up in the year where we're doing other things to help support that. So, it would be basically I would just add in something like cash equivalents, rent would all contribute towards the value. I think the problem is that they think this $200 is in cash, and it's really what you're contributing is $200,000 worth of value. And it could be in different forms.
Did you use the word cash equivalents?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the issue is the rents that we have, they're not counting, so I mean, I would want to address that specifically, that this is including rents and other special payments.
I'm guessing that they're thinking that's not, like, that's revenue and that shouldn't be counted towards our contribution. They don't want that to be counted in. Anything that has to do with the wellness center, they do not want that to be counted towards this amount.
Does the revenue from the wellness center go into the general fund?
That question leads to one of the primary flaws of the whole argument, is that if they strictly want to transfer $200,000, we can have a transfer $200,000, which have the rents come to the general fund, and then send it back over. So the state should be some $200,000 inclusive of transfers from the general fund, rents from occupants, or other in-kind.
Yeah, well, it's really the disagreement, right? So if they just want $200,000, we could do that. We would change some other things, but we could do that. If they're okay including these other things in the $200,000, then we can change the language to that too.
But if you're always strapped with providing $200,000 plus whatever the facility generates, you can't get there from here, and it kind of takes you away from your basic council mission.
Right. I don't think they can
tell us how
we spend.
I mean, if they're receiving their $200,000, then what difference does it make where it comes from? I mean, it's going to be a transfer out of the general fund. The general fund has a variety of things coming in to it. I'm not sure if they can specify or dictate to us, this line item goes to the $200,000, that line item goes to the $200,000. I mean, if it's a $200,000 transfer out of the general fund, then
it's challenging to have a logical discussion or emotional.
Yeah.
I feel like, for me, I need some time to look at this, and I'm not, ready even to give any kind of direction at this point in time.
But that's a good idea.
So maybe we could just take it home and read it over and think
about it. Well, we'll just take it back and just let them know that we discussed off of this, and we'll ask about the cash equivalents and see what they think about that. But that's just the main thing, that they don't want anything considered that the wellness center, any type of revenue, rent, or anything that comes from the wellness center to be included in the $200,000. They want that separate.
So they want to see $200,000 from the city plus everything that the wellness center is generating to stay there.
And see, I don't know that they need to see everything that the wellness center is generating. I mean, it's not necessarily.
Maybe they do need to see everything that's being generated, so that way they can understand that money that is coming from the wellness center, we're using that towards the $200,000. It's because it's being rented out. I mean, we're doing our part. It's not that we're taking that money and we're putting it
somewhere else.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe if we can show them that.
Bottom line is about transparency and, you know, negotiating and seeing what they want and seeing what we could give and work from there.
Well, let's sleep on it, as they say.
Sleep on it. I mean, I don't have any problem with the old MOU at all, but I might have some of these changes.
Well, there are some things on the old one that are already, that we felt that didn't need to be in there. Things that have happened already.
Already that
there's no reason why that
needs to be. I just had last time we talked.
Yeah.
So there's a third document that we hadn't seen. Mm-hmm.
And had no signatures, no city signatures.
And so, like, again, you know, being that maybe you've been here for a little longer, so you know the history of it, but like us, I know I didn't know much about this. I mean, including the programming committee, I thought it was something totally different, you know. So, I don't know, we're just trying to straighten it out, and it's going to take time. I know it's not going to happen over one meeting, maybe not even two or three, but at least we have some idea of what these documents look like now and what we want to see on there.
And from what I understand, just the fact that you guys are meeting and communicating and ironing some of these things out is starting to, you know, mend some of those fences.
Yeah.
And things are moving in the right direction.
And in all honesty and transparency, too, you know, the fact that their attorney was there, it made me a little nervous because I wasn't sure, you know, what the intentions or what the purpose of that was.
Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, Stark could be
not
there.
It's not
No, he could be there.
Okay.
So there's some new wording on forming this programming committee. Because I don't think that the old, because it talked about a committee. My question is about requiring a fifth member for the committee. Was that in the original thing, or is that?
It just says the committee shall appoint one at-large member to comprise the final membership of the committee. The committee may appoint additional ex-issue committee members, but these members shall not be voting members.
Is, so that, is that the old MOU that you're reading?
Addendum number 2. So, yeah. So, we have a funding agreement.
I don't even know which one.
Addendum number 2 and a funding agreement.
Number 2 is the most recent. So you have the original MOU, then a funding agreement, then an addendum to the funding agreement. So that one supersedes all prior.
That's right.
It was a number 2 that was missing in the last conversation.
And this is the one that talks about the at-large, appointing one at-large member.
And we're trying to have one operational document, right?
That would trump all three prior ones.
I just think the main thing is just that.
And that is my understanding as well. Because their big concern that that the city pay that dollar amount. And
over and above anything else that might be generated.
Yeah, as long as they receive that, it seemed like they were good. Obviously, we need to clean this up, though, so there's we can avoid this confusion.
So, could we all have a copy of addendum number 2 before the next meeting?
Or even, like, I only have 2 documents. I know I'm missing.
Or whatever.
We're even missing one.
Yeah.
Because we don't even know which one he has. He has a third one, but I don't know which one he's talking about. Yeah.
We can make sure that council has all the copies.
Or whichever one supersedes all the others.
Yeah.
If it supersedes the others,
depends on. Right. This is the most.
Good idea.
Any other? Any other questions, Councilmember Flores?
No.
Or anyone else? Okay, so we'll kind of table this or continue this item at the next meeting. Thank you. Item 6, creation of Transparency Ad Hoc Committee, can be presented by Beth.
All right, so I'm just going to read a little bit from the staff report this time. The staff recognizes council members and the public are not familiar with all the activities, policies, procedures, and practices of the city. It's something that's come up in different discussions lately. And so staff would like to work with an ad hoc committee for transparency services to, one, discuss and select appropriate content for a public-facing dashboard on the city's website, two, to consider the best design and update frequency of the selected content, and three, determine effective means to seek input from city residents on what they would like to see or better understand. And if staff is involved with the different things we're doing every day, we don't always recognize that somebody else may not know or even think about. And so if we go to put a dashboard together at home, we'll come up with some things that are really good. Key performance indicators from our opinion, but we're hoping to have some council members help with that to identify other things they want to ensure are there on the website to help the public see as they come, because they're going to be coming from outside instead of being kind of surrounded by it all of the time. And different ideas we want to put on there are looking at our employee policies and performance handbooks. It'll have the outline of how the hiring works and all of that. We'll be talking about doing things like videos, what to expect when you're applying for a job at Lindsay, or what the city services do, what does finance do. It'll be just kind of short. That's the right word is for it.
Vignette.
That's right. My minuet, that's not right. But yeah, vignette. It would kind of showcase that to the community. But I'm sure there's other things that we can do on top of that. And so we would like... Council is open to it, to establish the ad hoc committee, and then to select the council members as participants on the ad hoc committee. We would meet as frequently as needed, and it would help us just make sure we're giving the public the information that you're seeking. So
thank you.
Any questions?
Any questions for Brett on this?
I think it's an excellent idea.
It's just something to... Your dashboard, I'm not familiar with that term, but this will be on the website.
Yeah, just kind of a landing page and come and see. Maybe we have information about water meters, the frequency of them being read, or what the water tank level is like through a month. Just different things to help them get to understand their community living better.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So... Is everybody in agreement that it would be a good idea?
I would prefer community members to be a part of that.
To have them invited to those meetings? Yes, the ad hoc meetings, the members of the ad hoc committee can invite members of the community. Standing committees are ones that would have actually the Brown Act involved there, where it would be open to the public. And that there wouldn't be invitations. But with something like this, there would need to be invitations to the public. And so they can come and participate as they wish.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
So, the question is who might serve on that?
I am all for the idea. I think I need something like this. And I have not been serving on an ad hoc committee very much. So I would be open to certain levels. Anyone else would?
Great opportunity to put one's fingerprints on transparency.
I'll do another one.
I know, y'all have been working pretty hard on your ad hoc.
Mm-hmm. Great opportunity to help
Maybe
with the transparency.
Maybe we need a break before we can get two council members to help.
It's not something that has to happen today. It's just they did it. So that's something we said think about for a bit. We can. Or we can just staff can hit it up and you can give us comments as you see it.
Everybody can give input as they wish.
That's a good idea too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can just do it that way. Just let Brett know if you have thoughts of what should be up on there.
So it's going to be a time of transition next for a while. We'll get to it and get some things up there and we'll talk about design internally.
We've already done some things on the website. I think Jack's going to get job reorganizing the limits. Those are set up. It's a lot easier to define the different ones, but how it's structured. And we'll continue to make enhancements there. And
great idea.
And a landing page for this as well.
Mm-hmm. So once we get that up, like on the web page, if there was a member of the community that wanted to maybe add a comment to that, might that be incorporated? Mm-hmm. Cool. Oh, good.
That's something we can explore. Sometimes you'll see a little unwieldy distract from the information section there.
You're hoping to get the public input and the council input during the creation and design of this so it reflects what you want to reflect. And you can always make adjustments as you go. We have, since Bill Drennan's time, recognized that when you build something internally, if I'm working on planning all the time, I think like a planner and I go in at it from this approach. But if I'm a resident out in the community, I have no idea what it takes to get a sign permit application or a building permit application or a temporary use permit application. So it's really great to get that input from someone who doesn't deal with this day in and day out, that's not staff, to help us present the best representation to the public that we can, so that it makes sense for them. I mean, that's the whole goal, is to make sense. So we do hope that you would consider being a part of the process, and so up front we can make it as user-friendly as we can, and again, you can always adjust it down the road to make it more user-friendly.
And you've talked about doing more with the school district on internships. It used to be a great one to have one or two students involved in. So we teach them a lot about the community as a whole, just what happens in it, but too, if you
that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move on to item 7, consideration of awarding rehabilitation overlay street projects to Bush Engineering, presented by City Services Director Mike Kimmerer.
Thank you, Mayor Kimmerer and Council. There were 3 bids that were accepted on August 14th. Results are there. Bush Engineering Hanford provided the low bid for projects. Page 38 identified the 5 street areas. Council's aware of the areas, but we can go through them. Maple Avenue from Tory Road to Alameda Street and Sequoia Avenue, Tory Road to north of the Tory County office that would connect to a new street. Orange Avenue from Torrey Road to Alameda. Orange Avenue includes some pipeline work that would extend our storm drain system. And we would have one significant project left to allow us some really good flexibility with the storm drain basin control. And then Hermosa Avenue, Van Ness, half a new roundabout to Sweetbriar Avenue, and then Hermosa Street from Thomas South Elmwood. So that is the list of streets that were included in this bid, and the recommendation is to award Bush Engineering of Hanford for $839,901.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Mike? And then how soon can we start?
I know how. I'll move for approval.
Been moved by Watson.
Second.
Second by Flores. Just a minute order. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay, next item is similar. Consideration of awarding Kicksill Street projects to VSS International Incorporated. Presented by Mike.
Thank you, Mayor Kimball. Once again, 3 bids, same day. VSS International, American Pavement Systems and Pavement Coating Company. You'll see the locations are nowhere near Lindsay. That's because this is more of a specialized process. These are about the 3 contractors in California, that actually Western United States, that provide this type of service. So exactly where we expected the 3 active companies to be participating, they did. VSS International, which we've worked before many years ago, provided the low bid of $817,000. The streets that are proposed are on page 43. It says 3 streets. The downtown area encompasses Honolulu to Hermosa, Sweetbriar to Mirage. And so there are 6 streets that are affected in the downtown area. The funding, just want to say really quickly, the combined Cape Seal and rehab projects, $1.656 million. The overall budget for both projects, $1.8 million. So we're within that budget. That we can come back and see if there's anything we can do or save money in case we find something while we're in construction.
Right.
And then I think the final piece is the timing is going to be really good if there's opportunity for some new business downtown, which we know that there's some activity that's planned, and we're going to be doing the Cape Seal project downtown. The question of how soon? Provided council awards this second project, we'll send out the notices of award tomorrow, and that starts the clock of contractor has 10 days to submit contracts and bonds back to us. We verify everything's good. We issue the notice to proceed, and it's about a 10-day window that they're allowed to start. So we're looking at sometime towards the end of September. In the Cape Seal world, similar to Chip Seal, temperature is critical. So we're entering a perfect time. It can't be too hot, can't be too cold, and we hope by the end of September, the 1st of October, will be ideal conditions to be exposed.
Doesn't Cape Seal go really fast when they just come in and they just do it, or will there be some torn up streets?
In the two areas, the downtown area and on Harvard Avenue, the answer is yes. There's going to be some prep work. They're going to tear out some failed paving and repave sections. That's not going to be too disruptive. In the normal world, I would say this is about a two-week process tops. But because Tulare Road from Oak to Foothill is proposed, there's going to be some repair work done, and then 2 miles is going to be attempted really quick. And so we already know and have had conversations with staff and with public safety and with the contractor, it's going to have to be a pretty tight traffic control plan. Most of these other streets, we can completely close the streets down and move traffic around the area. Tulare Road's a little bit different. So it's a main artery on the north part of town. That one may take a few extra days of inconvenience, but a day of inconvenience always gets to council for 10 years worth of road service. So that's the warning now. But inconvenience creates, again, this serviceable road for many years.
Well done. And under budget, too. And we have a few dollars for some greenery at the roundabout.
And I just wanted to add on the second project. I noticed that we had approved a Carver Tulare to Hermosa. Just driving today. Right there on, what is it? From Harvard to Orange on Hermosa. That, like from the railroad tracks?
Jack has
been stepping. Is that on? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's part, because I know we didn't extend it that far.
We have that's Google Earth loaded up here, so there we go. Still with you. So that Harvard project. Is along the frontage of the school.
Right. But, you know, like in front of that store there, that little...
Yes. So it's this block here. So here's Reagan now.
Uh-huh.
So it's this block from Tulare Road down Harvard to Hermosa.
Oh, if you have...
And this piece here is not included.
Yeah.
That is on the streets capital improvement list.
Time.
But that one was not included yet. And that one is more of a candidate for a rehab.
As a reminder to council, the funds that we're using for this have been accumulated in prior years. Mm-hmm. And so the items talking about on the capital improvement project, those are in the 19-20 year budget.
Right.
This is in addition to the projects we have slated for this year.
Okay.
Very nice.
Okay. There's no further questions.
Let's get started.
What action would the council like to take?
I just want to make sure. This is not south of Honolulu, right? The Harvard?
No.
It's right before, right?
It's not near Honolulu. Uh-huh. It's in a stop at Hermosa, between Tulare and Hermosa.
Harvard, right?
Harvard, between Tulare and Hermosa, right?
Okay.
That section there.
Okay.
So there is a motion.
No, is there a motion by Cortez?
Sorry, that brings up a good point. Are you asking Reagan to be recused from this because it's
yes.
their home?
I don't know. Is that far enough for me?
Well, that happened. I mean, the previous one.
Well, won't nature help?
But there's a radius, right?
300 or 600? I'm pretty sure. 300?
I'll just get out. I'll just go out.
I didn't think about that, but yeah. I don't think I'm close.
I don't think I'm close by anything.
You can.
I just
you, by the time we figured it out?
Yeah, that's why
yeah.
I
voted.
Right. Okay,
so I voted on the previous hot outside. I don't think I'm going to do
she's
Hi.
She's recusing herself.
Okay.
Okay, I move to approve.
I'll second.
Moved by Flores, seconded by Watson. Would the clerk please take roll?
It's a minute.
It's a minute order. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
Rosanna.
That's extra.
That was very fast. Motion carried 4-0. Okay, item 9 is consideration of issuance of commercial cannabis retail dispensary regulatory permit to Valley Pure, and this will be presented by our ad hoc committee members, Sanchez and Flores.
Go ahead. I already started it. No, but like I said, we did have two options for two businesses here in Lindsay. We decided on Valley Pure. They bring excitement. They bring commitment to our community. And I think we'll do very well with having them as a partner.
I agree.
Anything to that?
I agree. I feel that, you know, when you're reading a resume and you go just off of that, I think it could have went a different route. However, when you meet these gentlemen in person, they're very vibrant, they're very outgoing, they're very clear on anything that you're asking them. They give you way more information. I mean, not that that's not needed, but they were very, I just feel like there was like a relationship there. I felt like you could actually feel that they want to be here and help the community and, of course, at the same time help their business out. I do feel that Lindsay is a great spot for them. So I think they chose a good city as well to partner up with. So I think they would do, they're going to do great, and they're going to do bigger things in the future, hopefully. So I'm excited for them to be here. I'm very excited, and I'm so glad that it was done fast. I wish it would have been done like yesterday, but we're here now, and I'm excited to see what they bring to the city.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate all the work that the ad hoc committee has done, and it said in our report that the committee members were unanimous on agreeing with Valley Pure. So, with that, are there any questions?
I just want to add that I to appreciate all of the time and work and dedication put into this project. Related to this item, I know that, for others that may not know, this is done on a volunteer basis, having to miss work, having to miss other things, just to make sure that we're really getting what our city deserves. So I really appreciate what you guys have done, and I know that it's something that you guys will be able to see the fruit in the future, and it'll be all worth it.
All right, thank you.
If I may add just a little something, I think the process of this RFP is vital. And I think that having this ad hoc committee being able to evaluate all the pros and the cons, and even though numerically things might be a little bit different going one way versus another, I don't think that we can discount the importance of a local relationship.
that relationship is very, very big. In my business, that is a very, very big deal. In all of our business relationships, it's that close personal relationship that we can develop. You know, I just couldn't imagine having an opportunity or a challenge and maybe having to get in the car and drive a long distance to meet with someone to be able to work through something, whereas dealing with someone locally makes, I think, all the difference. So I too, again, I'm very grateful for the ad hoc committee's decision.
Okay. With that, if there's no further questions or comments, this is a minute order item. I would entertain a motion.
I move to approve a commercial cannabis retail dispensary regulatory permit for Valley Pier.
And moved by Cortez.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sanchez. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Congratulations.
Okay. Do you guys have anything to say? Can they say something? Can they make
it? Baby, say
something. You made them wait this long.
They've hung out.
First off, we just want to say thank you guys. You guys put in a ton of hard work, and I know it's not an easy decision, especially when you get different candidates and things you got to go through. But we appreciate the ad hoc committee and council, as well as the city staff. It's been a great opportunity. We're looking forward to coming to this city and bringing all the vibrant energy you guys see from us and helping work with the community. And if there's anything you guys need, just let us know, and we'll be here first time. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll move on to item 10. Yes, I've got to find it. Public hearing. First reading of Ordinance 579, sign regulations, presented by City Manager Bill Zipper.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. So, we are reviewing, exploring an updated sign ordinance to conform with federal and state law primarily. I've commented to those that I've worked with that our sign ordinances are most difficult ordinance to understand, to follow, and to comply with. And so I'm pleased that that QK has gone through and been able to take the things that are important to us and blend it with what's working in other communities to come up with this product. And so Ordinance 579 is a request by staff to amend Chapter 1814 of Title 18 of the zoning of the Lindsay Municipal Code. Pertains to signage, and we did a study session on this, discussed some pros and cons on July the 23rd. And so what we hope this will do is provide minimum standards to safeguard life, health, property, public welfare, traffic safety by controlling design, quality materials, construction, illumination, size, location, and maintenance of the sign and sign structures. We want to preserve and enhance the visual attractiveness of the city. It's frustrating to see something that, you know, someone's hand painted, starts like this and gets like that, and it's on a material that's not durable. So an ordinance can help you regulate those kinds of things. To protect and enhance property values and community appearance by encouraging signs that are compatible with the architectural style, character, and scale of the building to which they relate, and with the adjacent buildings and businesses. To restrict signs that may create visual clutter or a nuisance to nearby properties, or violate privacy, create hazards, or unreasonable distractions for pedestrians and drivers, or interfere with vehicular ingress and egress. Provide adequate opportunity for the exercise of free speech by the display of a message or an image on a sign while balancing that opportunity with other community and public interests. To ensure that commercial signs are accessory or auxiliary to a principal business, so it's not the primary thing out there, establishment on that same premises rather than functioning as a general advertising for hire. And it says, as a caveat, due to a recent Supreme Court decision, the method of categorizing and regulating signs must be changed to avoid violating free speech rights. All signage would now be regulated under one of four main categories: permanent building signs, permanent freestanding signs, temporary building signs, and temporary freestanding signs. And if you look at the next paragraph, we're not going to sing. We're talking about signs. Signs can no longer be regulated based on what they say. We don't get to do that. The city can regulate the physical properties, characteristics, and locations of signage, but cannot regulate the content of the signage itself. And so that's the focus that staff with QK has gone into on this. And we've taken the comments made by council and your concerns, and I believe have folded those into this document. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions from the council for Bill at this time?
Well, I thought in regards to enforcement, the physical sign, mm-hmm. the architecture of it. So that'll just be a responsibility of our code enforcement
yes.
officer to identify those and,
yes.
and go forward. Okay.
And she's been on hold recently because we've had some things. We wanted to help people with their yard sales, for example. And we asked her to back off of that because she needs some direction. And in yard sales in particular, we have another vehicle, which will be the yard sale permit, that we can say, you can do this, you can't do that.
Yeah,
and one of the things that we wanted to do was avoid having signs clutter up intersections. And so they can't be within about 30 feet of an intersection, just so it's safe for motorists and people walking and so forth. But we'd like to think that we can make opportunities for people that they'll like for the advertising of their yard sales and yet not create litter.
Is there a time limit on that?
Yes, there is, for the amount of time. And you'll put that'll actually be on the permit also, because the temporary signs, again, you've got four main categories. A temporary freestanding sign could be up much longer than you're going to want to have a yard sale sign up. There's no point having it up for, say, 60 days.
Oh. So, I mean, I had that one concern last time about the section concerning murals mm-hmm. and had hope that maybe we could continue with the mural, section as we already had it, but it still is, that's not the case. There is something written about, I mean, they changed the wording that said it had to be on the wall and couldn't be on something that was mounted on the wall, because we have,
right.
One or two murals that are mounted that way. That's been corrected, that's fine. I'm concerned about the section that says wall murals shall not be illuminated. We illuminate some of our murals already, and I don't see a problem with that or why we would want to have that in there, since we have to turn the lights off on the American Spirit mural, or
everything that was done prior to the passage of this, and it won't get a life until 30 days after the second reading. It's grandfathered in as legal and non-conforming, like we do with structures and so forth. So the murals that are on McDermott or on the side of City Services or on the side of the Tinkin Building, I believe, that have lights shining on them,
mm-hmm.
they can go on in perpetuity unless they come out of conformance for some other reason. But it begs the question if you want to allow the continuing of future murals to have lighting. And if so, that can be amended. I think that they based this on an ordinance that occurred somewhere else, and apparently light pollution must have been a problem there. But it will not, all the signs that currently exist, if they're legal today, they'll be legal in perpetuity until something else violates.
Yeah, so, I mean, in my opinion, we can take that out, because half our murals already have lighting on them, and it's not hurting anything.
I don't think it'll be a problem in the future either.
Yeah, I don't see that many murals coming in. Anyway.
So the recommendation from council, if I'm hearing, would be to strike capital E, that section there. Wall murals shall not be illuminated unless such lighting is incidentally and indirectly illuminated from surrounding streets and buildings. Just strike that.
Just strike that one out. I also have some concern, and I wonder if the requirements, the changes have to do with what the state's requiring, but our old ordinance required that murals be done by a professional artist, have some historical significance to our community, and be reviewed by the mural committee, which does still exist. three fallen on hard times, but does still receive some funds to do maintenance on murals.
Mm-hmm.
And does touch-ups on murals. Mm-hmm. And so we're just like going to cut that out completely with
Well,
with
if
this
I
one?
May, Madam Mayor, so item G says no person shall paint a wall mural on the exterior of any structure or change any existing mural on the exterior of any structure prior to the issuance of a wall mural permit issued by City Council. You have control of that. And then they talk about the application process. We haven't created this yet, but there's your vehicle for controlling
yeah.
that.
I think that should be good enough. Every time it would be up to us. Okay.
Well, at some point we would need to talk about what we want to put, what we want to require on the wall mural permit.
Absolutely.
So that would need to be an agenda item at some
Then we
point.
Could discuss it.
So would council like to, do you want to wait until the end of the meeting to request that, or do you want to do it now, future agenda item?
We can do it right now, I guess. Everybody's nodding their head that should be a future agenda item.
Mm-hmm. We can do it by resolution, or just by the application itself, as far as what they require in that?
Yeah, you set up the permit requirements by resolution.
So we come back with staff report, and whatever council wants to do, you'll memorialize it by a resolution.
Okay.
It gives you the flexibility to change it.
Yeah. If there's no further questions or discussion by council, I will open public hearing on this item. The public is invited to comment. At this time, anyone wishing to speak in favor of the proposal for the sign ordinance may do so at this time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eric Sinclair, and I'm for approval of sign ordinances. If this city or any other city is requiring signage, it should be funded by the state. That should be mandatory, and it should be promptly done. Thank you.
Anyone wishing else wishing to speak in favor of? Does anyone wish to address the council in opposition to the sign ordinance or any part of the sign ordinance? You may do so now. Seeing no one, we will close the public hearing and bring the item back before the council. For further discussion or action, as you choose.
I propose that the council declare the first reading of Ordinance Number 579, an ordinance amending Chapter 18.14 of Title 18 of the Lindsay Municipal Code, removing and adding procedures for the regulation of signs, and waive the reading of the ordinance in full.
Second. Been moved by Sanchez and seconded by Cortez. Would the clerk please take roll?
Councilmember Sanchez?
Aye.
Councilmember Flores?
Aye.
Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez?
Aye.
Mayor Kimball?
Aye. Motion carries.
I vote.
Our next item, then. The second reading of Ordinance 579, the Accessory Dwelling Unit Regulations.
Bill? Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can we clarify, is that 578 or 579? 578 is what I have on the document.
Okay, 579 is the sign regulation, 578 is the...
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, as Madam Mayor mentioned, this is the second reading of this ordinance. There were a few questions that came up the last time, but none that the staff was required to pursue, primarily about the size of mobile homes that were to be used, the minimum size.
Minimum size, yeah.
Staff still believes that it's to keep travel trailers from cropping up and being used for second dwelling units. So outside of that, the intent here is to come into conformance with state law. The state wants to affordably create housing opportunities for our population pressure that we're feeling, and this is a convenient way for the residents who need this housing and for property owners who have the ability to create this housing. And it's an affordable way to do it. And staff is supportive of what you have in front of you. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions at this time? If not, what action would the council like to take?
I propose that the council adopt ordinance number 578, an ordinance amending chapter 18.14 of title 18 of the Vincent Municipal Code, removing and adding procedures for accessory dwelling units, and waive the reading of the ordinance on form.
Thank you. It's been moved by Cortez to adopt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Sanchez. Would the clerk please take roll?
Councilmember Sanchez.
Aye.
Councilmember Flores.
Aye.
Councilmember Watson.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez.
Aye.
And Mayor Kimble.
Aye. Motion carries 5-1. Item 12. And consideration of employment agreement with Brett Harmon as interim city manager, presented by our city attorney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As a result of Mr. Ziegler's departure, it's in the city's best interest to hire an interim, as the permanent selection will be done and take some time. So this agreement was a result of last council's negotiation in closed session. So I believe it represents what was agreed upon. So it's here for your approval. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mari. Any questions for the attorney? If not, this is a minute order. Please entertain a motion.
I move to approve the employment agreement for Brett Harmon as interim city manager.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
By Cortez, seconded by Watson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Me.
No.
Okay. Motion carries 3-2. And our last item is a request for future agenda items. Anyone have additional requests for future agenda items at this time?
For to start getting a new city manager, when do we start that? Because I know it was in the thing to, obviously we have 6 months, I believe. Mm-hmm. So when would we begin with that? Only because I know it would take a while for us to find somebody.
You need to start talking about the process. I mean,
right.
How are you? And the process is up to you guys.
So a future agenda item could be to discuss the process. What do we all think? Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Put that on a future agenda item. Anything else? Seeing none, then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Austin, seconded by Lawrence. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll get
all right. Good job.
Grab some cake, please, on your way out.